Yes, that line forms on the right page. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie.
Yeah!
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah! 202 on the Fan. Mick Monaghan here with you in the overnights. You know what the deal is. I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We got Fliegelman on the other side. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. And you know what? We've got pennant race baseball. I know we want to talk and have been talking about how pitiful Daniel Jones is, and hey, we'll still have that conversation, and whether or not it's time to tank already. I know we got to have a conversation about the Jets still, and whether or not there are nuances to that loss and how you feel about the team. It's become a very black and white conversation. It's either you're an idiot for allowing and excusing a loss to the Niners, or everything is hunky-dory and it's one loss, and there's probably a gray area we got to get to. But you know what? It's getting lost that every night we watch these two teams. Right now it's 16-17 to play. We are in the midst of two pennant races. And every night it's an up and down. We're watching the Orioles. This is the best time of the year. We got the Orioles focusing on them for the New York Yankees to win a division. Obviously, Atlanta and the Mets on a nightly basis battling to get into the postseason. It's scoreboard watching. It's big games. It's a lot of fun. And last night, unfortunately for the New York Mets and Yankees, both, it wasn't that much fun. As both teams lost, the Blue Jays took care of the Mets, and a former New York Met absolutely shut down the New York Yankees. And as you get into these games, right, and for the Yankees specifically, we talk about yesterday was the A lineup. It was the playoff lineup. It's the lineup everybody's been waiting for. It's the lineup we've all been screaming about. It's the lineup that, because it hasn't been there, myself included, we've been screaming about whether it's Jason Dominguez, why are you still playing LeMahieu, all the different things. Rizzo's an injury. Why isn't, you know, we have a million problems with how the Yankees operate. The Mets did some unique stuff in their own lineup last night. But for the Yankees specifically for a second, this team has had a lineup that on many nights we complain about punting, we complain about a million different things on how the Yankees do business. Only a couple days ago, there was no lane for Dominguez. Now there's a lane for Dominguez. Wow, that pisses us off. A million things, but you know what? The bottom line is, last night against the Kansas City Royals and Seth Lugo, they're in the middle of a postseason chase, a division chase, and this perfect lineup got completely shut down by one of the best pitchers in the American League in Seth Lugo. And then you watch Baltimore take care of business, and now it's back to a half a game. The Mets are now tied with Atlanta after Atlanta blew out the Nationals, and we are right in it every single night. And what you're going to learn about postseason and stretch run baseball, what we didn't know about last year. Because last year we were super focused on our football teams. That was it. It was Aaron Rodgers central. It was, what are the Jets going to do with Zach Wilson? That's all we focused on. And the Giants getting demolished by the Cowboys. We didn't have this. And as much as football is here, and as much as football is back, we are in the midst of as good as it gets playoff baseball. But for the New York Yankees and that lineup I've been telling you about, here's the bottom line. And here's what we're going to learn as we have 17 games left and this season hangs in the balance. And for the New York Mets, it's just about getting in, right? And they've been pitching great, and Peterson was bound to have a bad start. But what you're learning is, for me, and what we're going to see down the stretch is, we can scream and yell about Jason Dominguez. And we can scream and yell about lineup construction. And we can scream and yell about DJ LeMay, you can't be on this team. And we can scream and yell about what's best and Gleyber Torres' defense at second base. And there's a million things we can scream and yell about. But the bottom line is, your best players have to perform. And what is your strength has to be your strength. And for both of these teams, but specifically the Yankees last night, we scream and cry about how the Yankees have to be all in. All in! Because they have Juan Soto, and we don't know how long it's going to be. And how many years are you going to allow Judge, the best hitter on the planet, MVP of the American League, as we got the second place MVP playing shortstop for the opponent last night. But how many years can you allow this prime of Aaron Judge to fade into just failure? How many years can you not be all in? How many years can you not put your best foot forward? How many years do you not go out there at the deadline and trade away every prospect? And while those are all valid arguments, and I've been saying the same thing, here's the bottom line. If the New York Yankees are going to win, yeah, sure, I want Jason Dominguez in that lineup. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I wanted Verdugo out of left field. I wanted Wells, who hit the three-run home run the night before, hitting cleanup. I want him in there every night. He's a young kid about to win Rookie of the Year, hopefully, be in the conversation. You don't need to play Trevino every night. I don't care. This is the stretch run. It's time to hit the panic button. It's time to hit the go button. It's time to go. Well, here's the problem. Right now, the strength of the New York Yankees is Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. It always has been, and as long as Soto is here, it always will be. Because no matter what you put around them, it's got to be about them. And if you look at this team that is still, you know, playing much better than when it was terrible in June and early August and July, this lineup is predicated on the success of Mantle and Maris. It is predicated on the success of Ruth and Gehrig. And right now, they're not it. And I know it's hard to get on Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, both having unbelievable seasons. Judge now on pace for 57 home runs. Well, you know what? He hasn't hit a home run in 12 games. You know what? Both of them, over their last 50 at-bats, are hitting 200. You want to look at last night and Seth Lugo and how dominant he was, and he's got 9 different pitches, and he throws the kitchen sink at you, and he kept them off balance, and the manager said after the game that it was probably one of, if not the best pitching performance thrown at the Yankees last night over the course of the season. And absolutely, he was terrific last night, and Lugo is having an incredible year. No doubt about it. And he was great last night. He was pounding the strike zone. And listen, what you're going to get from Stroman, I mean, listen, 5 1/3, 3-4 runs. I mean, that's what Stroman's gonna. I mean, if you get that from Stroman, this team is built on mashing. And last night they had the lineup that everybody says is going to be the lineup. I see it all over. I follow all you dopes, myself included. I'm being kind when I say dopes. It's a loving term. But all you Yankee Twitter dopes, it finally makes me feel like this is the Yankees of old. This is the kind of lineup we have to throw out there. Finally, we have a lineup that's worthy of calling it the New York Yankees. Well, it doesn't work if Judge and Soto aren't the driving force. So we can scream and cry about we should be all in, and we can scream and cry about what this team can look like in the postseason, and how many years can you allow Judge to not have a team around him. Last year, you saw how miserable the team was. 2 years ago, Judge did nothing in the playoffs. Part of getting to the promised land with Judge in his prime is Judge performing. And I'm not going to get on Judge because he's been great and he's got 17 games to get his act together. But there's no doubt he's slumping right now. And no better example than even in this game. 92, 89. 93 mile an hour fastballs down the middle. Now, I know he throws everything, but these are pitches Judge doesn't miss. And as you watch this team, if you think they're going to win it, like, and we've been screaming about it all year, and it kind of makes me laugh because in one angle, it's true. Of course, you want the best team around them. And, you know, dating back to that Mets series and Severino, they only have 2 good hitters. And it felt like that for a lot of the year. And sure, that's unacceptable. And it's on Brian Cashman. This is not a defense of Brian Cashman show open. Trust me. I'm frustrated with Cashman, frustrated at the deadline, frustrated what he did to the bullpen, although hopefully it's starting to round into shape a little bit, although Mark Leiter is a disaster straight. He's just, he gives up runs every time he's out there. But yeah, Wells has now got the second highest OPS in baseball at the cleanup position. He's making a case to be Rookie of the Year. He's settled that down. Stanton has had his, you know, relatively pretty good season when he's been healthy and only the one IL stint. And he's got an 820 OPS and he's hitting balls hard left and right. Good at bats, fine. The Jazz Chisholm has made an incredible addition, both, you know, athletically and to the offense. And clearly now Dominguez is up, and everybody expects Dominguez just to go nuts and what his athleticism brings you, and the way they can manufacture runs with this lineup a little bit, as well as do all this. We could talk about how the rest of the lineup needs to be great, and it should have been better, and we should have done this. Here's the bottom line. They could surround Aaron Judge and Juan Soto with whatever they want. Gleyber Torres right now has been as good a leadoff hitter as in the sport. Now, he got two of the three hits the Yankees got all evening. This team is not going to be what we want it to be. This team is not going to win in October. This team is not going to be the team that gets them back into the World Series for the first time since 2009 if Judge and Soto don't perform. And now this is a pennant race. Every single game. This is where they're giving updates in the broadcast about, oh, the Red Sox scored a run, three-run Orioles in the fifth inning. Like, this is every night we are watching the other team. Every night we are watching the Atlanta Braves for the Mets. Every night we're scoreboard watching. This is a pennant race. This is to win this division and get a bye in the first round and have an easier route to the World Series. This is what it's about right now. And although we all love Judge and Soto, and I expect them to perform, the bottom line is they need to. And if you look at over their last 50 at bats, they've done relatively nothing. Nothing. And you watch Soto swing through high fastballs. You watch Judge miss pitches in the zone. Judge has it hitting a home run. He went from a 62 home run pace to a 57 home run pace to a 55 home run pace. And it doesn't even have to be necessarily about home runs, but they've got to perform. And as you watch the Mets, you see Pete Alonso, and we've talked about Pete Alonso a lot this year, and the opportunity that you have when you're in a pennant race. The Yankees have the same opportunity. Gleyber Torres, we can scream about Gleyber Torres all year long. If Gleyber Torres is going to have an 860 OPS from here on out, we forget everything about his season earlier. Doesn't mean we have to go give him a contract or want him back, but who cares what he did in April and May if he's going to provide them an excellent leadoff hitter down the stretch? And that's what Pete Alonso has in front of him right now with the New York Mets. And he continues to come up with runners in scoring position and do nothing. Do nothing. And we talk about, I'm big on the strengths of the team have to be the strength. And while I'm impressed with the starting rotation, and we saw what McGill did, stepping up in a spot start, giving you six innings of one-hit baseball last night. And obviously Peterson, although, you know, gave up, you know, five runs in this game and wasn't particularly sharp, got out of a couple jams early. Alonso didn't help in that, getting into a jam in the first inning, but eventually he was going to have a bad start. But the starting pitching's been great, and that's fine. And I've talked about how it's made them a more well-rounded team and a team you could feel more confident in, a team that can beat you in several ways, and that's fine. And that's important. But what's really important is the strength of your team being the strength. And right now, this offense is not their strength. They score two runs in this game. They move the lineup a little bit. They change it. They throw Winker in the two-hole. They move Nimmo down to five for the first time in a year, hitting outside the top four batters in the lineup. J.D. Martinez down in the lineup. He doesn't get a hit. You got Stewart in there. God knows why we're still throwing Stewart in there. You got Endia Alvarez playing. You know, Iglesias isn't going to play every single game at his age and what you expect from him. But this offense has still got to be the driving force of the team. Because it's nice that the starting pitching's been this good and the best ERA since June. And, you know, Manaea's been incredible. And, you know, I told you, even spot starts from McGill and Peterson's been crazy. And obviously Severino's pushed past this innings limit where it's no longer a concern. But if you're going to beat the Atlanta Braves, right, and I understand they're 10-12. Not yelling, I can't kill them off of one loss to the Blue Jays. But what we're going to find out here in this playoff push, in this pennant race, is that your best player's got to perform. And your best unit's got to be your best unit, and your strength has got to be your strength. And right now, this Met offense is not their strength. And right now, the middle of this Yankee lineup in Judge and Soto is not helping. And we could talk about all the different things. We could talk about how the Mets and their starting pitching has surprised us. And we could talk about how the rest of this lineup for the Yankees is exactly what we wanted it to be. And Wells has established himself as one of the premier hitting catchers in the league and up for the Rookie of the Year. And we could talk about how Dominguez is here. And we could talk about the stud Vientos is, although he's hitless in his last three games. All of those things are nice and important. And you're going to need every aspect of it if you're going to want to get to where you're going to get. But what the first check mark is for this New York Met team is pound the baseball and score runs. And when you get to the New York Yankees, it's the same, but it's specifically Judge and Soto. And if you look at Aaron Judge, and I've defended him, and we've gotten calls about Aaron Judge, and people have talked about Aaron Judge, part of him getting to the promised land, and part of this Yankee group finally winning a championship and, you know, ultimately taking advantage of having him and Cole and this year Juan Soto, part of that is them being Cole, Soto, and Judge. And let's be honest, as a playoff performer, although I think sometimes you get mixed up in the numbers and you could make it seem like he's actually worse than he's been, but he has not been a driving force. We have seen Giancarlo Stanton put this team on his back. We are yet to see Aaron Judge down the stretch of a season put this team on his back. We are yet to see Aaron Judge in the postseason put this team on his back. And while I believe he can do it, he's the best hitter in the world. And maybe it seems foolish to be yelling at 218 on this, you know, September morning about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. The fact of the matter is they have got to be at their best if this Yankee team is going to do it. And this Met offense has got to be the strength of this team if they're going to beat the Atlanta Braves, overcome possibly the Diamondbacks or the Padres. If they are going to be a playoff team, you need this offense to be the dynamic force of this group, and you need Juan Soto and Judge to be your two best hitters. And for the Yankees specifically, who are clearly in a playoff position and will be playing a playoff series one way or another, we can yell about everything else, and we can scream about Cashman, and we can scream about this lineup, and we can scream about Boone, and we can scream about anything you want. And we like to scream about getting Judge his world championship, which he absolutely deserves. But over this next 3-week period and then into the playoffs, he's got to be the guy he was all year long outside of April. And right now, his last 50 at-bats, they don't look good. Forget the numbers. You watch the games. I watch the games. He's missing pitches he doesn't miss. Now, I know he got a hold of one in Chicago, and that was a weird series and the wind and everything, but he hasn't really driven the baseball. A lot on the ground, a lot of pitches fouled off, a lot of strikeouts. And right now, Juan Soto is in a bit of a slump as well, both of them hitting under 200 in their last 50 at-bats. And so while, yes, Dominguez is up and the Yankees did the right thing, and yes, right now, Birdie's here, and DJ LeMahieu is not a part of this this team this season, moving into the postseason. And right now, you feel like the Yankees have their best roster. They're playing their best players, and they are as good as they're going to be heading into the postseason. And for the most part, despite not doing more at the trade deadline, the bullpen, whether it's Cousins or obviously Hamilton back, or what we've seen from Canely and Weaver, bullpen seems like it's rounding into form a little bit, right? And you feel pretty good about Cole, and you feel pretty good about, amazingly enough, you feel fairly good about Rodon. Nestor Cortez seems like he's got a chip on his shoulder, and you expect him to pitch fairly well. Luis Gil may be rounding into shape. He was brilliant his last start. Stuff was back from the injury. Everything seems to be rounding into shape a little bit, despite not winning enough games here and not getting on a real hot streak. You feel a little bit better about the bullpen over the last week. You feel a little bit better about the starting rotation and the offense as a whole and the lineup. You finally feel like they're putting their best foot forward. Enough of the nonsense. Here we go with 16 games to play. And all of that is great, and all of that is true, and all of that makes me feel all tingly inside. The bottom line is Judge and Soto are the force of this team. And we can blame Brian Cashman, and we can blame Aaron Boone for the attitude he's cultivated and the loser mentality and all that. None of it means anything if Judge and Soto don't hit. And if you think that's some sort of indictment on the Yankees, I look to you to every other team in baseball, and I will tell you right now, if Freeman, Betts, and Ohtani don't hit, the Dodgers don't win. If Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and Santander don't hit for the Orioles don't win. There's not a group or a team in this league who can overcome their best players doing nothing. So the bottom line is, as we've opened up this football season and we've yelled about the Jets defense and the Giants quarterback, we are still in the midst of a pennant race. And every night, it's up and down. They win a game, hey, we're up game and a half, I feel good. They lose a game, back to only a half a game. Hey, we're a game clear of the Braves, we're the hottest team in baseball. Oh, Peterson had his first, are we really going to trust Peterson down the stretch? And this offense has kind of gone cold, and now you're tied with the Braves again. It's a nightly thing, and I love it, I live for it. But the bottom line is, if these two teams want to make it to the promised land, if these two teams want to finish off what they've started, if we want to see both of these teams in the postseason, playing deep into the postseason, it's going to take what they do best being their strength. And for the New York Mets, it's this offense, and it better start to be Pete Alonso. We'll do a little bit more on Pete as we get through the show. And for the New York Yankees specifically, these last 50 at-bats for Judge and Soto can't be the next 50. And they can't be in the playoffs, or it won't matter who's playing left field. And it won't matter Dominguez is here. And it won't matter if Wells catches every game. It won't matter. Because they're built on the middle of the lineup being devastating, being impossible to navigate. And that's what it has to be. Otherwise, they're not going to win. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So a little pennant race baseball. And what makes these teams the teams we believe in? And whether or not those elements are at their best and whether they're going to be at their best over the next 16 games. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We will talk football. We will talk Giants and Jets. We will talk Jets defense. We will talk, of course, Daniel Jones.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It just felt like it needed to be said about Judge and Soto specifically. Like, they're having great years. I'm not getting on Judge and Soto. They've been incredible. They've been great. And they have been the driving force of this team, without question. But that just needs to happen. And we have so much conversation about all the secondary stuff. And rightfully so, because you want to have a well-rounded team. And you can get through a game in the postseason. You can get through... You know, it's not like you need Judge and Soto don't have to, you know, go 2-for-3 every single game if you want to win. But ultimately, they can't, you know, they have to be your best players. That's just the bottom line. And it dawned on me today as I've been, you know, watching it. And Judge has been, you know, struggling and missing a lot of pitches. And Soto's been having his, I feel like Soto's left the strike zone more in the last 3 weeks or so than he has at any point in the season. And he's a proven postseason player. I mean, he was unbelievable for the 19 Nationals. So it's not that I don't have faith in those things happening. I'm not trying to tell you I'm worried about the two of them necessarily, but it just dawned on me that we spend so much time yelling about a million different things. Like, we spend so much time, and so many people call me up. I get so many calls specifically about the Yankees on, I mean, you're going to allow Judge's prime to be ruined, you know, all this stuff that we say all the time. And the fact of the matter is, he plays a role in it. And, I mean, although I think it's overblown when people tell you that he's done nothing in the postseason, he certainly did nothing 2 years ago against the Houston Astros. I mean, that's just a fact. He did absolutely nothing. And when you look back at that season and how great it was and, you know, the offensive prowess and the MVP, and you compare it to this season, and it's this, you know, he's having these great series seasons, these MVP seasons, and... I don't know if he was tired down the stretch or whatever the case may be, but here we go again where it's the last few weeks. They need him. We're trying to win a division here. You're battling every night. You're watching the scoreboard every night. You're watching what the Orioles are doing every single night. It's going to come down to that Orioles series, the second last series of the year, which I find ironic, too, because the Mets and Braves are the second last series of the year as well. Those couple days, I got to double-check the schedule. I know they're both the second last series, so I got to figure they're the same days. The Braves and Mets are the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th. See if I can get the Yankee schedule real quick in a second. But I'm assuming that's going to be pretty much the same days, 24th, 25th, 26th. Let's get the schedule just real quick. I know I'm pulling the mic. Hold on. One second. 24th, 25th, 26th. They're the exact same 3 days. I mean, those 3 days are going to be the season for both of these teams. But down the stretch, as we are, you know, pushing for the playoffs here, you got to be at your best. And your best players have to be your best players. And we can, you know, quibble about everything else. It all doesn't mean anything if you don't get the first box checked. And the first box checked is Soto and Judge being dynamic and devastating and impossible to navigate. We were all worried about, well, you got to have someone behind Judge to protect him. You got to have someone who could drive in Judge when they walk him. You got to have someone to make the other team pay when they put Judge on. True. But you also got to have Judge getting on. He's got to be a driving force in this team. And he's just been a little bit cold lately, and they need him right now. They need him in games last night. He's got to be the guy who can't get shut down by Seth Lugo. I mean, I understand Jazz Chisholm had some terrible at-bats in this game. Okay, I mean, he's not their superstar. Juan Soto can't have terrible at-bats. Judge can't have terrible at-bats. Not now. And now tomorrow's a big game, as the next game will be, and the next game will be. They have a four-game set coming up against the Red Sox before they go out west, of course, and they'll take on the Mariners and Oakland before coming home to end the season against the Orioles and Pirates. And it's now. And for the Mets, this offense needs to be a little bit better. They've cooled off. And they've been carried by their pitching, which is great. It makes them a more dynamic team, a team that can beat you in several ways, which is important. But it's got to be the strength of this team that they're going to pound you. That's what this team is built on for me. And that specifically, I know he hasn't been the guy all year, so it's tough to just suddenly expect him to be, but Pete Alonso has the benefit of being on a team that's hopefully going to be in the postseason. And right now he's got a benefit of 3 weeks with an opportunity to change the narrative about him. He's got a contract negotiation coming up. He wants to get paid. Right now he's on pace or with the, you know, what we figure to be in a situation where he's going to get less than what he turned down already. And he's had a miserable year, and he can't change that. Now, when I say miserable, some Met fans will get their back up and say, oh, he's still got this. Okay, yeah. For Pete Alonso, he's had a miserable year. And he's really had as little impact on winning for the Mets as you could possibly have as one of the better hitters in the middle of the lineup. That's just a fact. But he has a 2.5-3 week stretch here where he could change everything about that. And last night, he still had multiple opportunities to help them either break open the game, get ahead in the game, or get back into the game. And he failed at almost every turn. It's time for the guys who you paid and you expect to be the driving force of your team to be the driving force of your team. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Wow. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's
up? You know, first, baseball, and then if you please, I want to make a general observation about week one in the NFL.
Sure.
But for what you're saying about the Yankees, man, if your big horses are not going to pull the wagon, it's in the postseason, and I think, you know, I don't say anything bad about Judge.
I mean,
ever.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to. I'm just
I know
saying
you're
that we
not.
They
I,
need to.
I know you're not.
Yeah.
And I am agreeing with you. And then you kind of went into some of the other things I wanted to say already about that. which you already did. Look, man, the Yankees went and they played four games in a row, and they gave up four earned runs. You know, the pitching, and the pitching was great. But if those big horses are not going to pull that wagon, you're 100% right. But how about this about the NFL?
Okay.
And, you know, you played.
Not in the NFL, I didn't.
I did play football, yes. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But this is, so this is what I'm wondering. What the heck is the preseason for at this point? Because I'll tell you what. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some teams that have a clue, like the Rams and the Lions and the Cowboys and the Chiefs. All right. There are some teams that have a clue and how to prepare. And you know what? Apparently, the Giants and the Jets, I could not understand how you could not allow Aaron Rodgers onto the field for one set of downs in three preseason games and expect him to go out and perform like a Hall of Fame performance. He looked rusty as rust. He did not look.
I disagree with you. I thought he looked fine. I was I was pleased with how Rodgers played. I mean, he did everything I expected him to do. I thought he looked better than I thought he would look, quite honestly, after not playing. I mean, he made a perfect throw to Lazard down the sideline. I mean, a perfect throw. He did his typical, you know, Aaron Rodgers Hall of Fame stuff of getting a guy offsides and then throwing a touchdown pass on the free play. I mean, I hear what you're saying about the preseason. Aaron Rodgers is a bad example of it, because here's the bottom line. Like, those games don't matter. He's a 40-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury. Sure, you want to get him ready into the season. And I think what you're learning is, and what now I'm starting to take away, and me and Fliegelman were talking about this before the show, I'm starting to think, and we might get upset by this comment, that the Jets looked at week one as you're saying, you know, we weren't going to throw Rodgers in this preseason off the injury. We got to make sure he's healthy.
Oh, let me talk to Giants.
It's an NFC. I'll let you know. I'll let you go. Hold on. Let me finish. It's an NFC opponent. It's one of the best teams in the league. It's a Super Bowl caliber team. Let's go out there and, you know, the first couple drives were, you know, run, pass. And it was kind of just like, let's ease our way into this season with a game that nobody expects us to win. Like, I'm almost even kind of feeling like maybe they treated it that way and just, I don't want to say gave up or expected to lose or just resigned to the loss, but it was almost like, look, let's not get crazy here. It's against one of the tougher opponents, and it's an NFC game. It's not going to crush us come, you know, playoff time and playoff seeding and tiebreakers. And let's just ease into the season, because we didn't have the opportunity to kind of treat the preseason as we would like to treat the preseason. So maybe there's something to that with the Jets. The Giants, same thing. I mean, Daniel Jones is coming off knee injuries. You can't afford to have him hurt in the preseason. I hear what you're saying. But if they go down, we're killing them. If they go down, we're killing them. And their seasons are dead. Your way hurts week one, and you're not wrong. But your way hurts week one. The other way of playing them and getting them hurt tanks your season. You know what I'm saying?
It is a proverbial double-edged sword. You know, I just can't understand how certain teams, and I guess maybe it's just the talent level, but certain teams looked very prepared for their first week, for their first game. And like the Giants, look, Daniel Jones started, and I defended him to you, you know, and you know, he threw a pick six in his, you know, in his end of the field, in the first preseason, you know, that was his first throw of a ball. And what did he do on Sunday? I felt, you know, I really feel badly for him.
He was atrocious in every way. In every way. That was there was one team in the league who didn't score a touchdown, and he was the worst. I mean, you're talking about Young in Carolina had a miserable day. You know, the rookies didn't particularly play well. Caleb Williams didn't play particularly well. He didn't score an offensive touchdown, but they did score a defensive and special teams touchdown. Like, the worst quarterback play in the NFL last week came from your New York Giants. There's no doubt about it. Daniel Jones was hideous. Hideous. Now, you can't play worse. You can't function. Team can't function that way. And going back and rewatching the game and seeing, you know, the All 22 and all the different things that have been posted on different platforms and social media, he missed so many throws and threw behind so, I mean, he threw one good ball to Neighbors. He threw one good ball the whole day. It was an atrocious display of football. So it's not just the pick six. It's everything. I mean, it was everything. It's hard to talk about anything else. Like, I know I was listening to Jerry and Al on the warm-up show after Monday show. So Monday show was the giant reaction leading into the Jet game. And I heard Jerry talk about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, we're going to talk about Daniel Jones, but what about the defense? What about? And he's 100% right. 100% right. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is, I mean, you want to talk about, there's a conversation to be had about Joe Shane. I mean, there's a real conversation to be had about Joe Shane, who I defended and said looked great in the Hard Knocks. And now I'm starting to think, it's like, you ever see Step Brothers with Will Ferrell? Right? There's that scene where Seth Rogen is, they go on like the series of job interviews, and they show up to these job interviews all in tuxedo, and Seth Rogen is interviewing him to work at like a Sports Authority or some sports store, and he's talking to them, and he's like, you know what, you guys are pretty cool. He's like, I showing up to tuxedos to this job, it's funny, I get it. You know, you guys seem like cool guys. I think we should do this. I'm gonna hire you. And then for some reason his name's escaping me because it's 2:43 in the morning, and I'm John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly farts, plainly enough. I'm not gonna use any euphemism. John C. Reilly farts, and suddenly Seth Rogen's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong about you guys, and now the tuxedo seems weird. Like, that's now how I'm starting to feel about Joe Shane, where I watched Hard Knocks, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I agree with him. You don't pay a $40 million quarterback to hand off to a $12 million running back. That makes sense to me. I think he's handled this Saquon Barkley thing right. And you know what? The talent evaluation, the way he, you know, the initial offer for the Burns trade, and then what he ended up getting for the Burns trade, and he was trying desperately to move up because he recognizes the quarterback problem. And I'm like, you know what? I feel good about the way this team is run. I feel good about the way I feel about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll right now. And then Daniel Jones went out there and farted, and now I'm like, you know what? I don't know how. I mean, you've got his first draft had two top 10 draft picks, and Kayvon Thibodeau can't get after the quarterback, and Evan Neal can't see the field. Ketchup and onions. Like, that's how I feel right now. Joe Shane is making me taste ketchup and onions. It's bad right now with the New York Giants. It is bad. So there's a lot of things you can complain about, no doubt. There's, you know, Sam Darnold was allowed to go 12 for 12 and go down the field. No one came near him. Burns and Thibodeau had zero tackles for losses. Just a disaster. An absolute disaster in every way, shape, and form. And you could break down a million different things of that game and why they lost. And nobody played well. And it was just a debacle of a week one, same as last year.
Was that a fart?
Yeah, it was. That was Daniel Jones, and then it made me realize these guys are ridiculous in their tuxedos. And that Hard Knock show is ridiculous. Because, let's be honest, the drafting, I mean, then they draft Hyatt in the third round. Year two, the coach is calling him the fourth wide receiver who will be on the field in certain plays. They drafted him in the third round! Oh, what production he got in college. He runs one route. Like, there's a million problems with the New York Giants. A million. But how the hell do you not just talk about Daniel Jones? Like, it's just, it's one of those things where I can't wrap my mind around talking about anything else. I can't focus on the fact that Thibodeau isn't getting after the quarterback. I can't focus on the fact that they're in desperate need of Adoree Jackson just to have a subpar defensive backfield. I can't even focus on the idea that the offensive line still couldn't run block. I can't even focus on the idea of anything else. I can't focus on the idea that only Dexter Lawrence is a valuable player right now. I can't focus on anything else because the quarterback can't throw the easiest of passes. And the quarterback doesn't look get off his one first target. And the quarterback is thrown at everybody's feet. Like, I can't get off of that. That's all I see. I'm blinded by it. It's hard to get around anything else. Will in Newark. What's up, Will? Will, you still there?
Hey, what's going on? Yep. I'm here, Chris. I just want to tell you, I'm the biggest fan of your. I think you're the best host on WFAN, and I have a couple points I want to make.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Number one. Yep. Number one, listen, every Yankee fan that's worried about this whole Jason Dominguez, Alex Verdugo outfield situation, mm-hmm. I have to point out, listen, I'm the biggest Yankee fan you'll ever find. Aaron Judge in the playoffs, if you look at what he's done in his career, he's hit worse than Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
He's hit worse than Alex Verdugo. He's hit worse than Giancarlo Stanton. His career OPS in the playoffs is below all three of those players. The 772 OPS in the playoffs, which isn't terrible, but isn't great.
Right.
And everybody wants to. We're at the point in the Yankee season where we know we're going to make the playoffs. It's no longer about beating up on bad pitchers. It's no longer about beating up on, you know, bad teams. It's about what can you do against good teams. And when I watch this Kansas City Royals team today, and I watch this game today, and I know we're facing Seth Lugo, who's a good pitcher, a reliever turned into a starter.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to see what can our best hitters do against a good top-tier pitcher this late into the season against a Royals team that's not great but isn't bad. I'm thinking, all right, this is like the type of playoff team you would see, and I see Judge not performing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why fans are so worried about, oh, it's Verdugo, oh, it's Dominguez, oh, it's it's Torres, who's been hitting great for the last month, who still can't get his OPS over 700.
I know.
Go look at Judge's OPS in the playoffs. It has been absolutely terrible.
It's been subpar for him. There's no doubt about it. It's been subpar for him.
Yeah, in the playoffs the last few seasons, Judge has not hit well in the playoffs. He is a big factor. I love Judge. I love him being the captain, the way he speaks to it. But go look at Derek Jeter, the real captain of the last few World Series wins the Yankees have actually had, who I would die to see. You know, he hit 880 in the playoffs, OPS, which is a stat I think most fans could agree is like the most well-rounded stat for hitting. You know, Judge has not performed.
No.
Verdugo has a higher OPS in the playoffs, you know, guaranteed. I'll say he has about a third of the less at-bats. I think he has about 50 at-bats and Aaron Judge about 150, etc. But still, against good hitting, this team cannot hit, and it has been a problem. Giancarlo Stanton has nearly a 1,000 OPS in the playoffs, yet people want to complain about Stanton. But
I've been making that argument forever. A fan base that claims all they care about is the postseason, and they'll kill Giancarlo Stanton for missing a week here, or missing a week there, when he's been their best postseason player. I've been making that argument for forever.
That's what I'm saying. When it comes to the Yankees, you know the Yankees are going to make the playoffs pretty much every year with the payroll, with the players we have. The pitching is almost irrelevant. Look at how, you know, people talk about the bullpen. Why is Mark Leiter Jr. on the team when he has a worse ERA than Michael Tonkin, who got DFA'd only just a week or two ago? And meanwhile, his ERA was inflated because he was pitching 2-3 innings at a time, getting gassed as a reliever. He got DFA'd. You know why? Because Brian Cashman refuses to, DFA a player he traded for or gave up any assets
for. I hear what you're saying, but they traded for Mark. Listen, he's been terrible. Mark Leiter's been,
terrible.
Tonkin, the Yankees weren't the only. Tonkin was designated for assignment three separate times this year. It's like the Yankees, you know, I understand what you're saying, and he was pitching better, certainly, than Leiter's been awful. But Leiter has a track record, and they did have belief in him. It's like, it's a fine line. People get hung up on that, like Brian Cashman is unwilling to say when he's wrong. And I get in many cases that's been the case, but at the trade deadline, which was only, you know, a month ago, they traded for him because they believed in him. Like, should we have someone who immediately abandons their beliefs? Like, is that a better GM who will trade for someone and within 2 weeks it's like, forget it, I was wrong? I mean, or do you want someone who has conviction in their beliefs? And Leiter has been a guy who who's had a better, you know, career than Tonkin, projected his stuff better. But yeah, right now you want to worry about Leiter. He's pitching in a game they're down 4-0 in the regular season. He's not going to pitch in the postseason. He's not going to pitch in any meaningful innings.
I don't mean to like disagree with you, but if you go look at the stats, if you go look at Mark Leiter Jr. and versus Michael Tonkin, when you said look at what Leiter has done, no, he hasn't done better than Tonkin. The only reason Tonkin got DFA'd is because he was free, but Brian Cashman's ego won't let him DFA a player that he gave up anything for, whether it was a bag of peanuts or one chicken bucket for a player. He won't get rid of him because he feels like I gave up something for him. But go look at Mark Leiter Jr. and I love the guy. I love the Leiter family, Al Leiter, this and that, all the Yankee history that the Leiter family has had. They've been great, but Mark Leiter has been objectively worse than Michael Tonkin. But Tonkin got
for the Yankees for sure. I'm not arguing that, but they needed strike, and I don't want to have a Michael Tonkin verse Mark Leiter argument right now. It's not worth it at 2:50 in the morning. Nobody wants to hear it. Me and you argue about the difference. They traded for a guy who had better strikeout numbers. They needed strikeouts in the bullpen. They made a trade for him. And yeah, I agree with you. But I think, I want to have more of a broad Cashman argument than just the Leiter argument versus Tonkin. It's about, you want the best players, no doubt, but Tonkin served it. I wouldn't have real great faith in Tonkin. Is he better than Leiter's been? No doubt. No doubt about it. But they made that decision before Leiter went belly up. And Leiter, when you trade for someone, it's because you have conviction about them. Like, in what other aspect of life? Like, you guys think you do it. Like, if you have a conviction about something and you do, and you make a decision on something, like, you stick with it for at least the short term. Like, it's only been a few weeks, and it's not like they're going to continue to throw him in big-time situations. He's been relegated to pitching when they're down 4-5-0 and getting one hit. Like, that's when he pitches. But there have been instances of that, certainly. They gave a contract to Hicks. They didn't want to get rid of Hicks. Totally agree. Right? The contract to DJ LeMahieu is what's keeping him around. Totally agree. They traded for De Los Santos. They got rid of him. They didn't give up much. They got rid of him. They designated him for assignment when he wasn't successful. They traded for Gallo. They traded him the next trade deadline. I mean, they got rid of him. They were hoping he could have a bounce back year. He didn't. They traded him at the deadline. Like, but at the same time, do you want to make moves and then immediately abandon them? Do you want guys who have no belief in their convictions? Do you want people who just completely will make a trade and then just abandon it right at the drop of a hat? But I mean, I think there's a fine line with that overall discussion. Mark Leiter, I don't care. Right now he's relegated to mop up duty and blowout pitching. I mean, he's been a terrible trade. Both trades for the bullpen were just atrocious. When they were, Michael Kopech was a great trade for the Dodgers. They were far, far, far better options. And the Yankees made a terrible trade. Now, part of it is sometimes it doesn't match. You know, he was, if you looked at his numbers with the Cubs, he had like two terrible outings that really raised the ZRA. He was having a fairly good year with the Cubs. Sometimes guys come in and it doesn't mesh well. And his pitching philosophy with the Yankees might not have worked. He's also could just be pitching terribly. But guys come, you know, Wandy Peralta came over and was way better than he was with anybody else. And then, Clay Holmes, who's a hot button issue at the moment, but he came over from Pittsburgh and became way better than he was with Pittsburgh. There are guys that works and guys that doesn't. And they're not force feeding him in meaningful situations. And now they've got pretty much Cousins, who, again, where did they find him? Hamilton, who, again, where did they find him? Weaver, again, signed as a sixth rotation guy, is now their eighth inning, ninth inning closer. And they got Canely. They got enough guys, and I still believe, I know I'm crazy, although I don't expect him to be closing much, I still believe in Clay Holmes. I mean, those, that's your best relievers, and Hill's been pretty good as a lefty. Those are your guys who are going to pitch in meaningful situations. Mark Leiter's on his way out. But your overall point about Judge, that's what I just think sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees, and we focus on all the other stuff, and it's important over the course of 162, and you want your best team. I was screaming about Dominguez as well. I was screaming about Dominguez. But they did it. Like, now I'm done with it. Now they did what I wanted. There are still Yankee fans who are hung up on the idea that they didn't do it early enough, or on the 6th of September, they said there's no lane. On the 9th of September, here he is. Like, yeah, they probably Cashman probably misled us with his quotes. They probably had it in mind the entire time that he was going to get called up for this Royals series. They didn't know what else to say other than we're going to do it in 3 days. And so he said, yeah, listen, right now, you know, the roster's a living organism, or whatever nonsense they came up with. Yeah, you want to get hung up on it, get hung up on it. He's here. And right now they have the best roster they could possibly have with 3 weeks to get ready for the postseason run. But Dominguez, Wells, all these other things, whatever you want to talk about, Judge and Soto have to perform. And this isn't by any means saying I'm worried they won't, or I don't have faith in them. All I'm saying is they have to. And right now, over the last 50 games, they haven't. And if they want to win, all the other stuff we're talking about means nothing. Wells is great. He's not going to... I don't see it coming. Maybe. You never know. But Wells and the Martian aren't going to carry this team to a championship. Everybody craps on the Bader trade. If Judge hit like Bader against the Astros, they might have made it to the World Series. I don't know. They wouldn't have got swept, I'll tell you that.